television show that America grew up watching. Now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins, and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid, but the most important thing I want to talk about today is your right to vote. Whatever your views on the other issues, whether it's eavesdropping or torture or even war, the question of whether or not someone is justified in doing a policy is more important than all of it together. I mean, whatever your views are on any issue, you have to believe we have a functioning democracy, right? I mean, that's what America is all about. And yet we have far too few stories, I think, on whether we have secure, fair, and accurate voting machines. After the elections in 2000, when the United States Supreme Court said that the votes in Florida that voted for Al Gore, all those votes would not be counted and install George Bush as president, you'd think that would wake up Congress and the Senate to let us know that we have a problem here. And then, of course, came the election of 2004 when, in Ohio, it was shown that the very machines used by Diebold or Diebold, depending on how you pronounce it, the main purveyor of voting machines, were hackable. And yet, we may never know who won, truly won, the election of 2004. One of my heroes is going to be coming on air later on in the hour. His name is Ian Sancho. And he's my hero because he, more than any other person in America, has single-handedly tried to protect American voting machines. He's the Secretary of State of Leon County, which contains Tallahassee, Florida, the capital of Florida. And you'll be hearing later on about his fight with Florida election officials to try to make sure that our votes are accurately counted. But it's not just going on in Florida, folks. It's going on right there in California, as well as in places like New Hampshire, Arizona, all across the nation. One of the most severe things is happening right there in California. In fact, in San Diego, which is having an election to replace the disgraced Duke Cunningham, removed from Congress because of his bribery conviction. You're having an election right there in April, of course, and the California Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson, has certified for use Diebold election machines. Now, what's interesting is that Ian Sancho and others have proven, beyond any doubt, that these machines are hackable. They've gone in and shown that you don't have to know any of the codes, you don't have to know any of the security systems. If you're good, or if you have a memory card given to you by someone who's good, you can walk up to a machine, any machine, run your memory card by the touch screen, and guess what? You can change the vote count. Not just adding one for your guy, but changing the vote count overall. A Finnish computer researcher by the name of Hursti went in and proved it. So California Secretary of State Bruce McPherson, who is a Republican, who's replaced the disgraced former Republican Secretary of State Kevin Shelley, went in and tried to originally decertify the machines. He said, well, they could be hacked, so we're going to send it to a federal independent testing authority to see about this. The feds never came back with anything, so he set up his own independent testing authority, a state authority out of the University of Berkeley. And this authority, this independent testing authority, came back to say, guess what? Diebold machines are hackable. It's really surprising. Here you have the Secretary of State, a Republican. He gives an independent elections officials, independent computer analysts, a chance to study the Diebold machines, and they find error after error after error that allows it to be hackable. If you don't believe me, you can look at the report for yourself. It's on my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Go there, click on page 2 of the report, and you can see for yourself that these machines are hackable in at least a dozen different ways. So what do? They say, well, we have to fix this, we have to fix that, we have to fix this. And more importantly, more than anything else, we need a paper record. We need a ballot to show that no matter what the machines do, you can say exactly what the vote count is. I mean, it's ironic that with all the technology we have today, the cleanest election system would be simply marking an X on a piece of paper. George Washington's election, apparently, was freer and fairer than our systems today. But it's not that we don't know how to do it, folks. We have automatic teller machines. When's the last time an automatic teller machine gave you the wrong amount of money? It's never happened to me. And we have, yes, the most notoriously well-watched machines, the kind that we know are absolutely accurate. They're called slot machines, and they're in Las Vegas. And the Washington Post just ran an article last Thursday where it showed how Las Vegas slot machines, even the penny slots, have far more accuracy and far more impossibility of being hacked than our very own voting machines. So what has the California Secretary of State said? He said, well, there's no time. The San Diego supervisor said there's no time. There's an election coming up in April. Sure, we'd like to fix all the problems with the Diebold election machines and go out Diebold and fix them. But in the meantime, we'll just have to do what we can. We'll just have to take the machines as they are. Elections in America, so what if they can be hacked into? My friends, this is not acceptable. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. What do you think? Does it matter to you whether voting machines are accurate and fair? We'll be right back with the Inside Scoop right after this.
Can't walk.
I can walk, but not very far.
I can't even stand anymore.
And it gave me no freedom.
If you or a loved one suffer from limited mobility, we have incredible news. Now you may qualify for your very own new Invacare power chair or scooter at little or no cost to you. Call Mobility Products Unlimited right now to begin your free pre-qualification process. Invacare's powered mobility products are comfortable, stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there too with Invacare.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. Their friendly specialists handle all the paperwork and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scooter. You could get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me. My muscles tighten, and I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Come on, Carmen, again.
By spending one day a week in the gym.
Tuck your chin, Carmen.
Dana helps neighborhood kids like Carmen develop interests that keep them away from drugs.
Hey, let me see your shoulder shift. Jab, jab, great.
Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer.
Cool workout, Carmen. See you next week.
Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. And be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop, toll-free number 877-528-TALK. It's a job on the Inside Scoop for me to give you all the news the government does not want you to know. And since I'm out of Washington, I often report on the national government. But voting, as you may know, is a state issue. State by state, county by county, the officials there, state and local officials, decide what you're going to vote on, how you're going to vote, how those votes are going to be counted. And in state after state after state, we're running into problems. Recently in New Hampshire, they had voting machines add 193 and 198 and get to 369. Now, you may not have your calculator with you, but the answer is it's actually 401. So in a close election, one won by 5 votes, 32 votes were missing. And 1 week after the election, they still don't know where those votes are. 1 week before the election, Diebold officials came in and certified that everything in New Hampshire was A-OK. And I've been spending a lot of time, I admit, on the California Secretary of State's website. Because the California Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson, a Republican, has put out all these press releases about why he certified Diebold election machines. Now, he did it over the weekend. He did it on a Friday, so they'd get very little press. But he says, in effect, everything's A-OK. I have 10 important checks, 10 really great things. I don't know why he chose 10 and not 9 or 11. I guess he felt 10 sounded good. But what are the checks? He's going to let Diebold officials check the machines. He's going to have a volume election where people go and test the machines. But those checks, right, they don't show whether the machines are hackable or not. And that's the most important thing. So he went to the federal authorities. He said, we want to test these machines. The feds, the independent federal testing agency, has not come back with a plan. My guess is that they found that these things are hackable and someone at the feds is stopping them, but I can't prove that yet. I will talk to some of my sources there. But the machines are hackable. And how do we know this? Because when Bruce McPherson, the Secretary of State, did a test on the California level, the independent testing authority found on page 2, and by the way, you can go right there on my website and look it for yourself. Let me read to you from what they found. They found memory card attacks are a real threat. That's a direct quote. We determined that anyone who has access to a memory card can tamper it, and can have the modified cards used in a voting machine during election, can indeed modify the election results from that machine in a number of ways. The fact that the results are incorrect cannot be detected except by a recount of the original paper ballots. And as you know, there aren't any. Finally, Harry Hursty's attack does work. This is the Finnish computer programmer. The independent testing authority found that Mr. Hursty's attack is definitely real. He was indeed able to change the election results by doing nothing more than modifying the contents of a memory card. Quote, he needed no passwords, no cryptographic keys, and no access to any other part of the voting system, including the management server, unquote. Now, this all sounds very technical. It all sounds very computerese. But the heart of the matter is Diebold machines can be hacked. So, when Bruce McPherson certified it, he said, oh, Diebold, fix the problems here. But you folks in San Diego know your election's around the corner. There's no time to do these long-term solutions, so they're just going to go forward with the hackable machines. Frankly, if they just had a piece of paper with a big X and two boxes, you'd have a better chance at a fair election. 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Mark from San Diego. Mark, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Oh, good afternoon. You know, I completely agree that these machines are a complete issue and problem. However, I'm not convinced that paper is the correct answer. And after looking at the GEM software, I'm not affiliated with Black Box, but I did go to this site. I think the correct answer is to open these systems up, the third-party auditors, people who are, you know, people from both sides of the fence, if you will, who can look at all of the results in real time. And I think that will, I think that'll go a long way to preventing the fraud or the possibility of fraud as we may have been experiencing.
Mark, let me say I agree with you for a long-term solution. Absolutely. You have to have the software available. In fact, it's one of the interesting things is that slot machines, Las Vegas slot machines, give to the state of Nevada access to all the software. It is illegal to use software in slot machines in Nevada unless the Nevada state has it on file and people can check it and see whether it's hackable or not. So you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, open source code is what it's all about. All I'm saying is that April's around the corner. You guys in San Diego have a special election around the corner. And unfortunately, there's no time to fix all of the many, many problems that have been documented in these Diebold election machines. That's why I'm saying in the short term, the very short term, paper, a simple paper ballot, the kind used to elect George Washington, I'm afraid may be the only solution unless and until you get voting machines that are at least as safe and accurate as slot machines. You see what
or
I'm saying?
Or as ATM machines, as you pointed out earlier.
Or as ATM machines.
Yeah, I mean, it just floors me that these voting machines are run by corporations, which are clearly tools of the neocons right now, and it's very upsetting.
Well, the head of Diebold, of course, in Ohio, promised to give the election to George Bush. Later on, he said that he regretted that comment. He, of course, is a George Bush pioneer who's given hundreds of thousands of dollars to campaign. Here's my question: when it comes to voting, shouldn't that be a time when you have bipartisan people watching the voting machines instead of, say, a corporation whose CEO is indebted to the Republican Party and whose brother is the former head of Sequoia, the other election machines? ES&S and Diebold control some 80% of election machines in this country, two brothers who are Bush pioneers. That's a problem. And what's interesting is no other country, democratic country in the world, has this system where corporations, including corporations indebted to political parties, control our voting machines. And so...
absolutely right. I mean, it's ironic that we send people over to watch other people's elections
right,
when, in fact, ours need to be watched. And you know what? With respect to electronic voting, I think it can be done electronically, but I think we need to have it regulated, just as many other industries in our nation are regulated. And if we do that, again, long-term solution, I think if we do that, we can come up with an electronic answer which is reliable and which has tremendous integrity in it. But in the short run, I'm afraid we in San Diego are going to be, I don't know, the paper can be done right now unless we go back to the old system, the punch cards. I vote absenteeism just to make certain.
Well, but one thing you could do is you can talk to your local supervisor of elections there. He's a guy by the name of, I got it right here. Where's his name? Oh, here it is. Mikel Haas is your local San Diego County Registrar. And tell him that these machines are hackable and you need a fair vote count. And that's something I hope that all of you will do who's listening to this broadcast at KLSD in San Diego. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to examine the difference between slot machines and voting machines and talk about how it is that when you're gambling in Las Vegas, Nevada, you have a better chance of getting a fair and accurate gambling count than we do of voting machines in America. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in. We provide affordable health insurance for the self-employed and small business owners. If you don't have health insurance, call us. If you have coverage, call anyway. See if we can give you better coverage at a better price. Stay on track for affordable health insurance designed specifically for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call 877-735-6460. That's 877-735-6460. Home office located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states and benefits may vary by state. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance. Call 877-735-6460 for details.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Sunday Weekly Review. Later on in the hour, I want to talk about the third anniversary of the war in Iraq. Have we accomplished anything? Are we indeed safer now that Saddam Hussein is gone? Are we on the verge of a civil war? And also the budget, the Voterama. What made Republicans huge spenders? Why is it that fiscal conservatives now are entirely in the Democratic Party, whereas people who believe in spending, spending, spending and charging to our youth, to our children and our grandchildren, those are the Republicans? When did that happen? I want to talk about that later on in the hour. For now, I'm talking about voting machines. Because whatever your view is on any policy, if you don't have the right to choose your leaders, guess what, folks? America is no longer a democracy. Now, I'm not arguing that Secretary of State Bruce McPherson is corrupt. I don't know that. I don't know that he is at all. Maybe he's just being misled. It was pointed out by a listener who called into the show that Kevin Shelley was a Democrat. I apologize. That's Bruce McPherson's predecessor, and he apparently was corrupt. But now that, your Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger appointed Republican Bruce McPherson, the question is, are you going to have a Secretary of State in California that believes in fair and accurate elections? Now, the legislature has said you have to have a paper record, but they're going and they're doing the elections. You're having an election in San Diego. It's of course in April to replace Duke Cunningham. Will there be a paper record? Well, I don't think so, because your Secretary of State has recertified the Diebold voting machines, which his own independent study says are hackable. Now, he went back to Diebold and he said basically, oh, fix all these problems, right? Fix the problems with your voting machines and everything will be just fine. But Diebold wrote him back and made no promises to do that. They basically wrote him back and said, well, we'll do this and that and the other, but no promises to fix the very problems found in that study. You don't believe me? Check it out for yourself on the Secretary of State's website. You kind of have to read between the lines, folks. And that's why I've done that and I'm bringing you the inside scoop here. Before the break, I promised to tell you about Las Vegas slot machines. Now, one of the things that our caller Mark from San Diego pointed out is that the voting machines are a trade secret. He's right. The voting machines, the software is a trade secret. In fact, people who've tried to find out what the Diebold software is have been punished by Diebold, including ex-manufacturers of the software, people who worked in Diebold. They've said, no, this is a trade secret. Now, let me give you an idea about how complicated this software is, all right? You know you have your pocket calculators, of which there are millions all across the country. Even the simplest ones, add, subtract, multiply, and divide. What does a voting machine do? A voting machine adds one to a candidate. That's all it does. I mean, there's some things now to help the disabled and so forth, but in essence, the heart of a voting machine is adding the number one. How complicated can that software be? Why is Diebold refusing to allow its software to be public? Well, one reason is with public software, you can check and see if it's hackable. As I said, slot machines, they have all their software completely available. And they have other things that you don't have in most states around the country. State gaming inspectors in Nevada can show up unannounced. They can just go into slot machines and check their software, make sure everything's fair. They can go into gambling institutions, go into casinos, find out what's going on. We have no spot checking of the American elections. Apparently, they're not considered as important as slot machines. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Lines are open. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. On the third anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq, President Bush is saying that Americans should thank the troops and their families. Speaking at the White House, the president is saying the nation is implementing a strategy for victory in Iraq. Emphatically no, those are the words of Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Ahmed Shalabi, used to deny the notion that Iraq is in a state of civil war. An Afghan man could face the death penalty for converting from Islam to Christianity. Afghan police have detained the man, Abdul Rahman, and are imposing Islamic Sharia law, which proposes the death sentence for Muslims who abandon that religion. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is getting a look at the cabinet named by the Islamic terrorist group Hamas. A senior aide to Abbas says he wants Hamas to change its stance against Israel, which calls for the destruction of Israel. A high-profile plagiarism court case stemming from the blasphemous novel The Da Vinci Code expected to wrap up tomorrow. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You have little ones around? Allergies driving you crazy? Can't sleep? Purify the air in your home with my Orrick Tabletop Air Purifier. Its lifetime filter never needs replacing. Try it free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Chances are you'll see the difference, feel the difference, and sleep better. And maybe you use a few less allergy pills.
If you haven't been using Mobisil, you haven't been using one of the most effective topical pain relief formulas on the market today. Mobisil combines a powerful pain reliever with soothing aloe in a quick absorbing formula. Apply it directly to the site of your pain and feel its deep penetrating formula ease aching joints and muscles on the spot. Mobisil is odorless, non-irritating, and non-staining. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, Super D, and USA Drug Pharmacy.
Taking Viagra with some commonly prescribed drugs can cause serious side effects. People who take nitroglycerin for heart pain can go into shock if they take it with Viagra. Those who take beta blockers such as Tenormin, Coreg, Lopressa, Corgard, or Inderol will not be helped by phentolamine, another drug used to treat impotence. People on heparin can suffer uncontrollable bleeding on Alprostadil, another drug used to treat impotence. Many drugs are broken down by the same enzyme in the liver that breaks down Viagra, and therefore could cause higher or lower blood levels of drugs, such as the antifungal drug ketoconazole and the anti-Parkinson drug entacapone. Another recent study shows that the vast majority of men who are impotent have normal blood levels of the male hormone testosterone. That means that the most common causes of impotence are arteriosclerosis and diabetes. For a copy of this report, go to thehealthyheartmiracle.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. When you ask authorities, Republican members of Congress, how do they feel about the right to vote? They'll insist they want the right to vote to be secure and accurate. But when you ask them, well, how about having machines that have a paper certified record? When you point out to them that Diebold machines are hackable, well, they run for cover. They don't answer your question. They don't tell you why anyone who supports democracy in America would support machines that are hackable. Well, one person who is leading the charge to fight for fair and accurate voting machines is the supervisor of Leon County. Leon County includes the capital of Florida, Tallahassee. And this man, Ian Sancho, has done more, I dare say, than any election official anywhere in the country to ensure that we have fair elections. One of my personal heroes, Ian Sancho, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
You're too kind, Mark.
Well, I know all you've done. You've worked really hard.
Well, my job, and I was elected in 1989, to ensure that the citizens of Leon County could have a safe, secure, and efficient voting system. And all I've attempted to do is ensure that that, in fact, is the case. And I'll tell you, though, that independent election officials are not appreciated in many jurisdictions.
Well, let me go through specifically what you have done there in Florida. We have, of course, the Secretary of State there, Sue Cobb, and she and you haven't gotten along too well lately, fair to say.
Well, we've not had any negative comments, but we certainly don't share the same positions because when I finally was able to meet with her this past Monday, I reiterated to her that the state had, by their own actions of creating a certification program, created a legal monopoly. I, as a supervisor of elections, cannot certify any voting equipment, and three voting machine companies, the only three voting machine companies that I may purchase machines from in the state of Florida, well, one's in breach right now and refuses to sell me any equipment as long as I'm the supervisor of elections.
And that's Diebold.
That's Diebold. And the other two have offered to sell me equipment and then decided they didn't have the resources and support to be able to do that.
Well, Ian, I'd like to take it one by one, step by step. Diebold is particularly not happy at you because of a Finnish researcher by the name of Harry Hursti, who apparently was able to hack into Diebold election machine.
Yes, let's put all of this into the full context because I think your listeners may want to know exactly what's going on here on a much larger scale than Leon County. I've been, again, an election administrator for 18 years, and for the first, I came to office because I was an aggrieved citizen who lost a race for county commission, and our supervisor of elections was negligent. So I sort of was the focus of community concern and anger over something as sacred as the right to vote being denied to thousands of Leon Countyans.
Now, Mr. Sancho, was this when you first became supervisor of elections 18 years ago?
That's correct. Okay. I had run for a local office in September of 86, and that election disintegrated before the community's eyes. And I ran 2 years later with the idea that we were going to have safe and secure elections, and elections served only one major purpose, and that was to express the will of the citizenry. That's all what elections are all about, and that's central to our republic. And we purchased optical scan equipment in 1992 for all elections from that day until this day. I've worked with three different companies because we bought the equipment from Unisys. Then Global Election bought that company. And in 2002, relatively recently, Diebold moves in and buys the Global Election company out. And then a whole bunch of things that that had not been very, very common were happening with great rapidity in the elections business. In 2003, Diebold had to pay the state of California $2.6 million for lying to local officials in Alameda County and lying to the state of California itself. That information, as a Diebold customer, that information was not made available to me.
Interesting. You didn't know that they had defrauded the state of California.
Well, I wouldn't call it defraud. The actual thing that they had to pay for was false claims, false statements, in other words, lies. They were lying to local officials in the process of selling their voting equipment. And the controversy that grew over this company's entry into the field led me to determine that I needed to independently test the security of the system, and that's what we did. We brought in two scientists. They were provided by blackboxvoting.org, Harry Hursti, who's a Finnish scientist, and Hugh Thompson, who is a Massachusetts security company scientist, and these individuals came to me and told me that they could penetrate the security of my system. And as an administrator, it is central to any systems administrator to know what the real world vulnerabilities are. The company was saying this was impossible to do. These individuals purport to be able to do it. They also don't need to violate any of my copyrights because they don't need manuals, they don't need passwords, they don't need anything, because somehow Diebold accidentally allowed these individuals to download 40,000 pages of documents, so they had everything. So with that in mind, we engaged them to do these security tests, and we found out that they were not hackable from the outside, but they were hackable from the inside. And you could alter data and not leave any evidence of it on the audit logs, which is a critical security vulnerability.
Now, let's be clear what we're saying here. When you say they're not hackable from the outside, but they are hackable from the inside, what do you mean specifically?
It means that no kind of mechanical or scientific attack on my modems on the telephone lines was able to gain purchase into the elections computer from outside the system.
But if you were standing at a voting machine purporting to be an ordinary voter, you could hack into it?
No, this would have to be done in the programming level, in my opinion.
Okay.
Someone, and the way we determined and characterized it was someone with inside access could affect the system's ability to correctly count the votes and do it in such a way as to affect the outcome of the election and not be detected.
So let's say you had an observer, and the parties, of course, allow observers in there, and the observer was able to, I don't know, pass by a voting machine. How long would that person need in order to change the vote count?
Well, I think at this point, I don't know. You'd need access. You'd need to be able I would have to say this is a process that would require inside collusion and a fraud in some sort of way. The system is just simply wide open because of a basic kind of code called AccuBasic Interpreter, which, by the way, again, Diebold denied existed, and of course now has been corroborated by the University of California scientists.
Right.
Again, the issue here is this: the tests, which show that the systems are vulnerable, immediately raises a serious question in my mind over why did I have to catch this test, Mark?
Right. I mean, you're a local county supervisor.
What's happened to 31 state certification programs? What's happened to the independent testing authorities? We have a process that we have. And it's a fairly complex process that we purport to offer the citizens of this country security in their voting, and I'm one right now to believe that it is ineffective, that in fact what we've done is we've created a privatized, outsourced mechanism for voting which does not allow for citizens to have accountability over anyone in the process. The companies are not accountable to the citizens. They routinely lie, and I'm not one that's very happy with the idea that liars are allowed to count votes in our nation.
I agree with you. Mr. Sancho, we have to take a break. Folks, if you want to call in and ask Mr. Sancho anything you want, toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. When we come back, I'm going to ask not just about Diebold, but the other voting machine companies, how it is that there are so few, and what is Mr. Sancho's problem with them that led him into a very interesting meeting just last week with the Secretary of State of Florida. All of that and your calls right after this.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is Ian Sancho. He's the supervisor of elections in Tallahassee, Florida, and he's been single-handedly fighting the state of Florida, as well as, well, the voting systems machines across the country to try to provide an accurate vote count. Ian Sancho, let me ask you, we've talked about the Diebold voting machines. What about the other companies? Is there a problem with them?
Well, in my experience in watching the companies over 18 years, basically the names change, but the faces remain the same. The company will mutate from one form to another, companies merge. This has happened a half a dozen times over the 18 years that I've watched the industry. But what, and they're basically pretty much the same. I would say that that they all use tactics, which basically they'll court you, they'll salesmen, they'll wine and dine you, they'll tell you their equipment works fabulous. They all act, pretty much have the same approach. And, you know, right now our nation faces, I believe, a critical time as we look at all of the, and hear words that you've got, your listeners need to be listening for, glitches, snafus, or one of my favorites, hiccups, to talking about all of the problems which local jurisdictions are going to be having during the primary season as they're getting new equipment, oftentimes shoddy equipment. There's no guarantee that it's new. And this equipment is being given at the last minute to election administrators to try to implement without the time necessary for voter education, without the kind of systematic community outreach programs that are critical to have successful elections run in our communities.
It's interesting. I imagine if someone said, oops, there's a glitch, you lost all your money in your bank account. We don't see these mistakes. Tell me this, the other two companies, what are their names, and how are they the same people, as you pointed out?
Well, for example, ESNS, which is the company that we approached back in June of 2005 to purchase their equipment, their salesman told us that we were industry leaders. Leon County was recognized across the country for its expertise in innovative election programs that have come out of our office. And it would be a feather in their cap to take us away from Diebold. That's what we were told by the Florida representatives of that company.
So what happened with the ESNS?
Well, the law required that you had to purchase your equipment before December 31st, because on January 1st, all jurisdictions in the state of Florida had to be compliant with the Help America Vote Act, known as HAVA. And so by starting in June and arriving at all of the negotiations out of the way, and we cemented our deal with company officials in the first week of December at the Florida Association meeting that we had in December, our winter meeting. There I met with the Vice President of Operations and the Vice President of Sales, and my county technical team was invited to the users group meeting, which is a meeting solely that attended by the companies.
And so what happened at the end of the day? What did they say?
Well, at the end of the day, let's just say that right before Christmas, all of a sudden we're not getting any information back from the company. The company's not, we agreed on the price with all the right people. We're supposed to get a contract, and it's not coming, and nobody's returning any phone calls. And then shortly before Christmas, I get a phone call from my Florida representative who's panicking and saying, I don't know what's happened. The people upstairs won't sell you the equipment.
The people upstairs at ESNS.
Yes.
And it's your view that they won't do it because you're watching them carefully.
Well, I'll tell you that I had a chance to speak to the president of the company, Aldo Tessi, and he immediately asked me about my red team security tax that I did on Diebold, and that's the term of art we use in the industry. Hewlett-Packard, for example, has a red team security attack group that is designed to see if they can penetrate and locate vulnerabilities in systems for their clients. And that's what we had done here in Leon County, as Maryland and Ohio have also done these kinds of tests.
So he was afraid of your hackers, basically.
He wanted to make sure that he knew what was going on here, and to me, I felt that that was the critical issue that he wanted to talk about. And I was supported I told them, the president of the company, that the Diebold machine had an anomaly in the memory cards, and I needed to discern for myself if potentially this anomaly was in any way connected to a security vulnerability. And in fact, there has been a problem with the optical scan system that the new cards manufactured by the Diebold Corporation corrupt, which means that the electronic voting box that's supposed to record the votes electronically disintegrates.
What do you mean electronically disintegrates?
It disappears. The information disappears.
Now, we had Clint Curtis on this show a few months ago. He's, of course, out of Florida. And he says, and he's now running for Congress, by the way, that the former head of the Florida legislature, who's now Congressman Feeney, told him how to, or basically asked him to design voting machines that could be hacked into and then get the code to basically hide itself, kind of like those old tapes, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds, to get the code to eat itself and no longer exist. Is that what you're saying is going on here?
I don't know, because I've not examined scientifically the exact process that Mr. Curtis is talking about. But I will tell you that, in fact, in the test that we did here in Leon County, which was verified by the state of California, by using this code that is present, embedded within this electronic ballot box, you can stuff it and tell itself to basically wipe all evidence that it was rigged after it rigged itself.
Mr. Sancho, we have to take another break, and we have some callers on the line. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, to talk to one of my heroes in protecting America's right to vote. We'll be right back.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
April 1805. Bison as far as the eye can see. An abundance of bald eagle. Meriwether Lewis.
July 1805. We beheld a great number of antelope, deer, and elk. William Clark.
Imagine if Lewis and Clark's journals continued long past the end of their journey.
June 1905. Beaver trapped out. Buffalo herd down to a scant few.
How would they describe their trail today?
August 2005. The river is silent.
Would they be pleased?
On a more pleasant note, the new interstate certainly makes the commute more manageable.
Or would they feel differently?
Something must be done to save what's left of this great place.
As we commemorate the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, consider what's been lost and what we can do to preserve what's left. Walk with them and see what you discover at www.lewisandclark200.org.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about voting machines across the nation and how it is that it's far easier to hack them than even slot machines in Las Vegas. My hero, of course, in this is Ian Sancho. He's Supervisor of Elections of Leon County. Let me go to the phones. We've got Pat in San Diego. Pat, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how are you? And I'm so thankful to be able to speak with Ian Sancho. He's a real hero.
Yes, he is.
I wanted to know if he's aware of the New Mexico law that was just passed by Bill Richardson to vote on paper ballots.
That's a good question. Yes, Ian Sancho, it seems that Governor Richardson, at least, is supporting paper ballots.
Is this something
that you could do right there in Leon County as well?
Well, no, because it's against the law in the state of Florida. And I must say, I applaud Governor Richardson for his activities and farsightedness.
Now, this is interesting.
Had close elections like Florida, and they've acted in a prudent fashion to ensure that they will be able to verify all of their voters' votes at 100%. And that's something that I think every state in the country should be doing.
Now, Mr. Sancho, how is it against the law in Florida to have a paper record of ballots? Is that specifically the Florida legislature has said
you
cannot do this?
Yes, because you see, in this state, there is one-party dictatorship. Been that way since 1998. And if history teaches us anything, it's that the power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And last year, at the behest of the governor, the Florida legislature changed the way Florida did its recounts, changed something that had been in place for almost a century. And that was that we were able to count all the votes in a manual recount. But now, not only can you count all the votes in a manual recount, if a vote has been read by a machine, it is not recountable. You cannot look at or determine whether the machine is accurate because under Florida law, the legislature has presumed that the machine count is always accurate. So our recount law specifically allows the canvassing board only to look at non-machine readable ballots. And this is a threat to democracy.
It certainly is. It sounds to me like in order to have a fair election, at least right there in Leon County, you might have to go to paper ballots and just give up on the machines because at least then you'd be able to count the votes. What do you think about that?
We have to have a way to comply with the federal requirement that there has to be one device per polling place to allow someone with a disability to cast a vote independently.
Right.
And since state has limited all counties to three options, and all of those options are only touchscreens.
You're in trouble.
And now these three companies can't sell to me. The state has threatened legal action against me for being blacklisted by the companies because Leon County, acting independently of federal and state authorities, detected a security flaw that, quite frankly, poses a serious, serious threat. And while the caller and you, Mark, believe that I've done something good for the Republic, I can tell you that they would like to hang me up by the yardarm here.
I'm sure they would. In fact, I understand that they even threatened to bring in U.S. Marshals. Pat, you got a few more seconds before the break.
Yes, please. How can we help him? What's the best way to help his cause and our cause?
Great question. Pat, Ian Sancho?
Well, I will tell you that simply to just deal with the facts directly, that it should be basic in our society that American citizens have an accountable, reliable, and secure voting system. We
don't have that now. We have the evidence here in Leon County that the testing programs don't catch serious vulnerabilities. And I think that the citizens need to just ask for the right to have the same basic freedom and liberty that we're involved in other countries supposedly to protect.
We're coming up on a hard break. I apologize. We will be right back to you, I promise, right after the break, right after the hour.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRay reporting.
Thousands have volunteered to serve our country. Many volunteered after 9/11, knowing full well that their time in the military could put them in harm's way.
On the third anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq, President Bush saying Americans should thank the troops and their families. Speaking today at the White House, the president remarking that the anniversary has caused him to reflect upon sacrifices made by the men and women in uniform. The president saying the nation is implementing a strategy for victory in Iraq and that victory would lay the foundation for peace for generations to come.
I encourage the Iraqi leaders to continue to work hard to get this government up and running. The Iraqi people voted for democracy last December.
President Bush saying that it's up to Iraqi leaders to enact a government that reflects the will of their people. Emphatically no, those were the words of Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Ahmed Shalabi used to deny the notion Iraq is in a state of civil war. Shalabi telling CNN's Late Edition there is some sectarian violence, but no civil war. He said people are ready to talk, we have an elected parliament, and there is a political process. Vice President Cheney also disagrees with the notion that Iraq is in a state of civil war. Cheney telling CBS States the Nation he believes terrorists are trying to incite a civil war, but thinks they have been unsuccessful. USA Radio Network News.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal, I buy Maltomeal Cinnamon Flavor Toasters cereal. Maltomeal Cinnamon Flavor Toasters tastes every bit as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Cinnamon Flavor Toasters and over 20 other popular flavors. Because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 21 ounces to 14 ounces. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is a registered trademark of General Mills Incorporated.
When arthritis, muscle, or joint pain strikes, strike back with Mobisil, the most advanced topical pain reliever you can buy without a prescription. Mobisil is specially formulated to penetrate deep under the skin, where it rapidly delivers a powerful analgesic directly to the site of your pain. Mobisil's revolutionary formula is odorless, non-irritating, non-staining, and without side effects. Mobisil, rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Brookshire Brothers Pharmacies.
General George Casey acknowledging there is a fragile situation in Iraq, but does not think a civil war is imminent or inevitable.
I don't want to sugarcoat it. The situation here is fragile, and I suspect it will remain fragile here until we get a new government, a government of national unity, formed.
Casey on NBC's Meet the Press program. Casey believes that progress is being made in the war, and we will see a gradual troop reduction over the next couple of years as Iraqi security forces take more security responsibilities. A fringe faction is causing causing quite a ruckus on the eve of this month's Israeli elections. Greenleaf is campaigning to legalize marijuana. That has elder statesman Shimon Peres very concerned. Peres calling Greenleaf a real foe in the elections. An Afghan man could face the death penalty for converting from Islam to Christianity. Afghan police have detained the man, Abdul Rahman, and are imposing Islamic Sharia law, which proposes the death sentence for Muslims who abandon that religion. USA Radio Network News.
If you're ready to help alleviate the symptoms of arthritis and joint pain, then you're ready to try Mobisil. Mobisil delivers a powerful pain reliever in a quick-absorbing, deep-penetrating formula. Apply it right to the site of the discomfort for rapid and dramatic relief from arthritis pain, inflamed joints, and sore muscles. Mobisil cream causes no side effects, is non-staining, non-irritating, and odorless. Mobisil. Rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Price Chopper pharmacies.
Rioting in Paris has been brought under control by police. Protesters in 150 cities hit the streets to demonstrate against a new law that allows employers to fire young workers without reason. German political leaders say they're considering new policies to encourage Germans to have more children. Germany's Federal Statistics Office saying the nation's average birth rate per woman is the lowest it's been since 1946. A high-profile court case stemming from the blasphemous novel The Da Vinci Code expected to be wrapped up tomorrow. Michael Badgett and Richard Lee, two of three authors responsible for a 1982 book, are suing Random House, the British-based publisher behind Dan Brown's novel, accusing Brown of plagiarism. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of the Inside Scoop. We're discussing your right to vote. Do you know that your vote can be conclusively changed, can be hacked into on the voting machines in California, in Florida, in states across the nation? It has been conclusively proven, but guess what? You're not seeing it on the front pages of your newspapers. Nope, the people that are fighting behind the scenes, people like my hero on the phone, Ian Sancho, the supervisor of elections of Leon County in Tallahassee, Florida. Mr. Sancho, I'm sorry, due to the nature of radio, I had to cut you off. Coming up on the hour, finish what you were saying before.
Well, I think that those of us that are concerned about this just need to keep pressing the issue for verifiability. We're not talking about anything complicated. Everything that we do in our lives, from the minute we're born till we die, we get a piece of paper, a certificate to verify the truth of the situation. And I think our elections deserve no less. The fact of the matter is, though, that we are now, as I find myself in Leon County, are completely dependent on voting machine companies, and it is they who determine the rights of the citizens and how they vote. Not the citizens, not election administrators. Somehow, we have given up accountability and responsibility to voting machine vendors who are driven by profits and not public interests in this matter. And that has led, I think, to a very, very serious crisis in confidence in American elections today.
The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Mr. Sancho, Pat before the break brought up the state of New Mexico, which, as you pointed out, has had close elections. And the governor of New Mexico has insisted on paper-verified voting machines. Explain to our listeners, if you could, how New Mexico's machines differ from the ones that you can choose from in Florida.
Well, the machines are all optical scan machines. They're each voter is given what Roy Saltman, who is sort of my mentor, calls a document ballot. That ballot will record the voter's mark in the made by the voter him or herself, and if need be, all of those pieces of paper can be re-examined to come up with a 100% accurate count. Now, that's as complex as the issue is.
So it would be like an optical scanning machine, like when people took the SATs, they filled out the ovals and...
Precisely. We're not talking about anything... In fact, technology really should only be applied to speed up a technical process, not to change it, not to remove the verification process. And each state under America's Constitution is left free to design its own election system, Mark. Again, Article 10 of the Constitution leaves that to the states. And so we've got different systems all over the country. Some states, like New Mexico, has obviously recognized the importance of making sure that they can verify every voter's vote. But the voters here in Florida, I think, are on the other end of the spectrum, with a law that says that if a machine reads the vote, you cannot examine that vote to determine whether the machine read it accurately. And that is the precise vulnerability that the University of California cites in saying that this vulnerability can only be detected by examining a portion of the machine-readable ballot.
And what's interesting is I cited that, in fact, to my listeners in the first hour. The Secretary of State of California has read that document. I mean, he certainly has done it, but basically he says, all right, it can be hacked into, but we can fix it. Are you aware about the certification of the Secretary of State of California?
Yes, I am, and I will tell you that it's because we've essentially given up responsibilities of our elections to these private companies. My own belief is that the Secretary of State there feels that he can't decertify the system because there are no other ways to allow people to vote. It's completely dependent upon the capacity of the private voting machine vendors in the United States of America, not up to the needs or desires of jurisdictions. And when you have allowed that kind of situation to be the dominant mode, we're completely defenseless as a nation to individuals that have access to the codes and the public officials don't. And as elections become more and more complex, contracts are being written with those voting machine companies, which actually are going to have their technicians counting the votes in counties and cities all across America in 2006, and not the individuals that you hired or elected to do the job.
Ian, we're coming up on another break, but when we come back, we're going to take some more calls. And also, I want to ask you how we came to this place. I mean, 10, 20, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, there was a multiplicity of voting types and machines. There were, I know, the electronic things where you push the lever down. There were paper ballots. There were optical scanners. There were the punch cards. How do we end up in a situation where we have this monopoly power, where we have voting machines in effect in charge of our democracy? Is it because of Bush v. Gore? And how is it that decision, which in effect said that Florida can't count its votes, why isn't there therefore a national standard for counting votes? We'll be right back with all of these issues and your calls, 877-528-TALK, right after this.
I'm can't walk.
I can walk, but not very far.
I can't even stand anymore.
And it gave me no freedom.
If you or a loved one suffer from limited mobility, we have incredible news. Now you may qualify for your very own new Invacare power chair or scooter at little or no cost to you. Call Mobility Products Unlimited right now to begin your free pre-qualification process. Invacare's powered mobility products are comfortable, stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there too with Invacare.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. Their friendly specialists handle all the paperwork and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scooter. You could get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing your right to vote. My guest is someone who's fighting an uphill battle. He's fighting his entire state that does not want voter-certified election machines, does not want paper records that prevent fraud in Florida. And yet he's the supervisor of Leon County, and he's fighting state officials and doing an admirable job, in my view. Toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. Pat has been holding a long time. I know you've had a second question. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry to impose the...
Not at all. Go right ahead.
I wanted to bring this up because it may be the only way for voters in Florida to really verify what they voted on. And it's something that was started here in California. It's called Parallel Elections. And it's run by volunteers. And I myself have never participated, but I ran into their webpage. And I thought maybe Mr. Sancho might be interested in publicizing this possibility, because it is an open, clear voting that citizens can verify. And their webpage, can I give that out?
Sure,
maybe
go ahead, Kat.
Take that down. It's called StudyCaliforniaBallots.org.
But here's the problem, Pat. I assume what that would require is that every voter who goes into a voting booth comes out and casts an identical ballot with
these
private citizens. And I know that it's going to be a skewed result, because people who don't agree or don't care or don't focus so much on fair voting aren't going to vote. There are people that are not going to want their private vote to be controlled by private citizens. So it sounds like an admirable idea, but I don't think it's going to succeed. Even if every vote there is perfectly well counted, you're not going to get the exact number of people, because a lot of people won't choose to participate in it. So
I
think that's a problem.
Is there a particular web page or an email address where one could communicate with Mr. Sancho?
I don't know. Mr. Sancho, I don't know if you want all these citizens contacting you.
No, maybe he would like to leave.
Well, actually, I do have a web address.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that is ion@leoncountyfl.gov.
Okay.
Repeat that one more time for us, please.
ION,
yeah.
At leoncountyfl.gov.
ION at leoncountyfl.gov.
FL like Florida. Florida.
Oh, FL, excuse me. Leon County, FL like Florida, .gov, and that's how you can contact him. Mr. Central, I wanted
thank
to ask you. Thank you, Pat, for your call. I wanted to ask you about a meeting that happened in Florida just last week. Apparently it was on Monday, the first day of Sunshine Week in Florida, a week devoted to open government, and you had a meeting with the Secretary of State, Sue Cobb, who closed that meeting. Tell us what you can about that.
Well, yes. Sue Cobb had instructed that I attend a meeting with her and other county officials, and it was set for Monday at 11 o'clock, and would I please attend? And since I was seeking an audience with her, I felt it was absolutely appropriate, so my lawyers and I went to that meeting, and there were press present and other public officials, and it was apparent that the Secretary of State was not going to tolerate the meeting being covered by the press.
Now, isn't that a requirement of Florida law?
Well, I thought it was. We have an open governments law, and it's supposed to be among the most strongest laws of this type in the nation. But I can tell you that the Secretary of State summoned law enforcement officers to physically remove the press. So they were definitely seeking to have a private meeting.
Now, this story wasn't covered that well nationally, I can tell you. Was it at least covered well in Florida? Do Florida voters realize that their press was not allowed to see a discussion of fair voting in Florida?
Yes, the Florida press really was incensed over this because they did not see the necessity of this. And I'll tell you that as a member of a participant of that meeting, there was nothing that was of any way, shape, it needed to have been kept secret from the public.
What was her excuse? What did she say was the reason for throwing out the press?
She preferred to have a meeting without the glare of the press. One could accomplish more, I believe her statement was, without the glare of the press.
Let me ask you this. At one point, correct me if I'm wrong, she threatened to have United States Marshals come in and take over your position as Leon County Supervisor to ensure the elections were done her way. Is that right?
Well, there was a threat of that mentioned twice in the two letters sent in February and March by the Secretary of State, in which the specter of federal marshals taking over and running the Leon County elections. The only thing is that as someone who is quite well versed in this field and has kept up with the Justice Department letters, I knew that was an absolute ludicrous statement on its face. The Justice Department has indicated it made it clear to jurisdictions who are attempting to comply and through no fault of their own find that there's an impossibility, whether that's no certified voting machines to choose from because your state hasn't gone through the process, which is what's happening in Connecticut, or whether you don't have a voting machine to choose from because the companies that the state has limited you to purchase will not agree to sell, which is the Leon County situation. We want to purchase equipment that will do the job necessary to comply with the law, but the state's own law makes it impossible for us to do that.
And in fact, I think your local voters kind of saved you, didn't they? I understand you went before your own Leon County board to a question of whether they had confidence in you, and I'm told that not only do they have confidence in you, but an email campaign to protect you broke down Florida's servers. Is that right?
No, I don't know about the latter, but I will tell you that thousands of individuals literally contacted the county commission, and they voted to unanimously allow me to pursue my efforts to certify new equipment that would, in fact, provide a voter-verified paper trail and do it for a fraction of the cost that the certified devices have. And it's a device that actually two Secretary of State has examined and chose not to even have to examine it because it's a telephone.
A telephone? That sounds like, I don't know, you could have many people call in on the same line? I don't know about that.
No. What it is an individual would go to the precinct like everybody else, and instead of going to a touchscreen, just pick up a telephone that is handed to them by an attendant, and that one line goes to a server. There's nothing connected to that server. It's not anything but a way for telephonic impulses to allow a voter to confirm the choices, change, and...
So kind of like voicemail, the kind that we all have to use all day long when we're calling companies.
That's correct, and the fact is that you would require the voter to go to the precinct, like every other voter on election day that's going to the precinct, and the I will tell you that it's been the goal of individuals with visual disabilities.
Sure.
For many years to be able to use something as familiar as the telephone, which every telephone in the United States of America has a special key 5, and this is so to allow individuals to learn how to utilize that device on a tactile basis.
Very interesting.
There's no need to create sophisticated touchscreen voting machines that cost $10,000 per vote, because the technology exists to do this simply on a cost-effective manner, and not require the use of any technology that a voter who has never used it before might feel intimidated with.
Very interesting. We have to take another break. If you want to call in and ask Mr. Sancho a question, you're welcome to do so. Toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. When we come back, I want to talk specifically about the upcoming election in San Diego and what voters down there can do to protect their own voting systems. We'll be back after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now, 800-936-1264, 800-936-1264.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, 3 episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. In New Hampshire, voting machines added 2 numbers together, 193 and 198, and got 369. They were 32 votes off. In North Carolina in 2004, voting machines lost 4,500 votes in 2004. In Tarrant County, Texas, 100,000 phantom votes were cast on Diebold election machines. And in California, even though the Secretary of State has done an independent survey from the University of Berkeley showing that my guest, Ian Sancho, is absolutely correct that Diebold voting machines can be hacked into, despite that fact, he has gone ahead, certified the election machines, said, well, we'll try to fix these problems found by University of Berkeley. But in San Diego, they're going to have an election in April to replace the disgraced Duke Cunningham. And the San Diego County Registrar of Voters, Mikel Haas, has to accept these machines because it's only a month before the election. Ian Sancho, you are an expert. You're my hero here. You're someone who's worked harder than anyone in the country, as far as I know, on protecting people's rights to vote. If you were a San Diego citizen, and my show is broadcast in KLSD in San Diego, what would you do to protect your right to vote?
Well, at this very, very late stage where you're dealing with controversy over the equipment, you may not have good understanding of all its capabilities. You might not have enough poll workers. I would vote on paper ballots.
So you would do an absentee record, in other words. Because California does have absentee voting. You would vote absentee.
I'm not familiar. Could California allow a precinct, for example, to provide a paper ballot at the polls like an absentee ballot, but at the polls as opposed to having to absent yourself from the polls and getting it by the mail?
Actually, I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that in California you don't have to certify that you're away. In some states, you have to say that you're not going to be there that day. So it's actually very easy to get an absentee ballot.
Right. That's called no-excuse absentee ballot voting, and many states are going to that.
But here's my concern, Mr. Sancho. Even if everyone listening to my voice votes absentee, because the Diebold machines are hackable, it seems to me all you'd have to do is get one of those machine cards that the computer analyst from Finland had, Mr. Hursti, and if you get it into a machine, and suddenly you can increase the vote count. So even if everyone listening to my voice...
California has one protection that many states don't have. Florida does not have this. California requires that 1% of all of their ballots, and that includes machine-readable ballots, have to be audited. And as the California study pointed out, this is the only method that you can use to catch this vulnerability. So if you're going to use this machine, it's a requirement that you must do a recount of the machine-readable ballots to confirm the accuracy. And then, and only then, could you make a determination as to whether or not the results are accurate.
Well, that's good news for California voters. Let me ask you this. This 1% test, is it done even when the election isn't closed? Or only when the election's closed?
Yes, in California, it's automatic. They have a provision that many states don't have, and it's that provision that will really benefit the citizens of California in its upcoming elections. I only wish that Florida had that same kind of provision, because without that provision, there's no way for even the elections administrator to ascertain whether or not the software has correctly counted the votes.
We're coming up on another hard break. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. It's the third anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq, and President Bush says Americans should thank the troops and thank their families. He spoke today at the White House, the president saying the nation's implementing a strategy for victory in Iraq, and that victory would lay the foundation for peace for generations to come. Emphatically no, those are the words of Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Ahmed Shalabi, used to deny the notion that Iraq is in a state of civil war. Vice President Richard Cheney also disagrees with the notion that Iraq is in a state of civil war, as he commented on NBC's Meet the Press. An Afghan man could face the death penalty for converting from Islam to Christianity. Afghan police have detained the man. They're imposing Sharia law, which proposes a death sentence. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas getting a look at the cabinet named by the armed Islamic terrorist group Hamas, a group that advocates the destruction of Israel. A high-profile plagiarism court case stemming from the blasphemous novel The Da Vinci Code, expected to conclude tomorrow. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
Ever thought about your own executive consulting business? Helping clients legally protect their assets from lawyers, judgments, government seizures, and divorce? Over $160 billion was paid last year just to settle frivolous lawsuits. One out of three business people or professionals will be sued this year. An asset protection consultant can make as much as $6,400 from each client, plus annual renewals. If a serious executive income appeals to you, offering a unique and affordable service in huge demand, and if you're prepared to make an investment in your own business, part or full time, then a former nationally known collection attorney and best-selling author wants to send you a free video hosted by actor Robert Wagner with full information about this limited opportunity. Call 1-800-892-7777. That's 1-800-892-7776. Call anytime, 24 hours, 1-800-892-7776.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. A study in The Lancet shows that a relatively new blood pressure drug is actually better than the old standby for preventing deaths from heart attacks and strokes. Doctors have relied on beta blockers like atenolol as the gold standard for treating high blood pressure. But Kozar outperformed atenolol in a study of over 9,000 people.
A new report in the journal Archives of Surgery contends that St. John's wort is dangerous for transplant patients. In the study, the patient's blood level of cyclosporin, a drug used to prevent organ transplant rejection, decreased by an average of 50% when the patients began taking St. John's wort. This could lead some patients to reject their transplants. The study underscores the importance of discussing the use of herbal supplements with your physician. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing your right to vote with the man fighting his state as hard as he possibly can. He is the supervisor of Leon County in Tallahassee, Florida. His name is Ian Sancho, and he's really following voting machine laws across the country, and I have to say I'm very proud to have him fighting our battles. It's a shame, though, that it takes a local county supervisor to fight battles that, frankly, every member of Congress, every senator, every governor should be fighting for. Toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Ken. Ken, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Glad to hear what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. Glad to talk about it.
Particularly glad to hear about this 1% in California, because I was not aware of that. But I got a couple of issues here. About a week or 10 days ago, I called the San Diego County Registrar of Voters.
Yeah.
And it took me about six different people, and one of them finally called me back. And this coming April, and I believe in June, we will be using the optical scan voting ballots, which are paper ballots that you fill in the bubbles.
Well, that's terrific.
But there will be one touch screen for the visually impaired at each location. They said it'll be a paper trail. Now, I believe the paper trail is what they're talking about, is the optical scan.
Right.
And,
but probably not for the machine, for the people who are visually impaired. There will not be a paper trail for them.
Probably not. Now,
well,
the optical
system
scan machines are also made by Diebold, which is not really comforting.
Mr. Sancho, you were going to say something.
Well, yes. This kind of blended system is going to be used all across the country. An optical scanner for individuals that can have access their sight, and a touchscreen for individuals that need the audio capability. The problem is that these touchscreen devices are not verifiable.
Right.
And that causes me a great deal of concern over using a device that is manufactured by a company over which the citizen has no accountability over. And I don't believe the trust should be part of this equation, Mark.
Mr. Sancho, it's interesting.
Am I being naive?
No, I don't think so. One of the things you mentioned, though, was the use of a common telephone, you know, rigged, which is very interesting. I assume that the tones, you know, when you hit one or two or five, could be recorded, and that recording would provide the verifiable system that all of us are seeking. Is that right, Mr. Sancho?
Yeah, yes, it is. Something as simple as that has been manufactured. Mm-hmm. 2.5 million voters use it already, and I think that rather than to create some very complex and high cost and questionable reliable or accuracy kind of device, why not use technology that we can use everyday basis? Because I will tell you that the touchscreens also affect a certain percentage of the voters who use them to cast their ballots on, and those individuals end up casting blank voted ballots as opposed to actually casting machine countable ballots because they make mistakes on that interface. And that's something that has not been generally discussed
but is readily apparent in the election data that we've generated in Florida over the past two general elections in which we've used touchscreens.
Sure, if you're under a certain age, you're probably used to using touchscreens in your ATM or whatever, but there's certainly older voters to whom the technology is far more unfamiliar than, say, as you pointed out, a telephone. It's a good point. Right. Ken, I know you had more you wanted to say. Go ahead, Ken.
I could see where that would be. Could be a problem, particularly in California, where on some of our major elections, we have a large number of ballot initiatives.
Right.
And, it would become very confusing. I could see. But one thing I wanted to mention, Mark, is I sent you an email just a little while ago. I looked up the San Diego City Beat is one of the magazines or papers in San Diego. There's an article in here just before last November's election, and it says Mr. Hursty you're talking about?
Yes, the Finnish programmer.
Has a software tool to detect fraud in counting absentee ballots.
Interesting.
And what he says there, that he's demonstrated a program, but he has to get the absentee ballots from the registrar of voters, but a relatively inexpensive desktop computer could analyze 20,000 ballots an hour.
Very interesting. Mr. Sancho, are you aware of this?
No. Mr. Hursty and I have never talked, and he has never talked to me about offering any commercial devices. I only use Mr. Hursty to conduct the security test, and that's all we ever discussed.
Very interesting. Hey, Ken, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Very interesting program.
Thank you. Let me ask you this about the 1%, because it is good news for California voters. But as I understand the 1%, basically you'd have to get lucky enough for the 1% is randomly chosen. Is that right, Mr. Sancho?
Yes.
So you'd have to be lucky enough to catch, if someone does a fraudulent thing on, say, two or three voting machines, chances are you won't count them in the. I mean, there's a chance, right? There's, I guess, a 3% chance you find them in the 1% if you do three voting machines. But presumably, it would have to be really widespread fraud before you could catch them in this 1% auditing system, right?
Well, if you're, it's not. There's a chance that what you're talking about is true. And I think that's why I prefer to use a broader scale and a sliding scale. For example, you could develop an algorithm for if the race is very close, I think you'd have to check as much as 5% to really discern that the machines, in fact, have not been played with. But if the race is not very close, I think you with a 1 or a 2% random chance, again, you're not supposed to turn up any mistakes at all.
Right. So if you get
one mistake,
right,
you've made a discovery.
Sure. And I'll tell you something that I find that could be done, and this relates back to Clint Curtis, who was on my show, the computer programmer who discovered or actually developed a hackable voting machine at the request, he says, of the Florida Republican, the former head of the House down there, who's currently Congressman Tom Feeney. But what he says is that you simply have to look really at the number of votes, because the system that he designed, what it did is it didn't change the percentage that voted for a certain candidate. In other words, the liberal counties still voted more for the Democrats, the conservatives more for the Republicans. What it did was it affected turnout. It increased the turnout in the conservative counties and depressed the ones in the liberal counties so that people couldn't see that it was being hacked into. And it seems to me that the system in San Diego that Ken mentioned, where you have the optical scanning machines for most voters, which is good because that is an independent paper record, it seems to me it wouldn't be that hard if anyone's visually impaired to sign a special place in the, you know, where you sign in to vote, that if you're visually impaired, that, you know, you show it, you prove it, whatever, or say you are or have a, and then you put, you know, VI or some notation by that voter. And then all you have to do at the end of the day is count the machine ballots. And if there's 123 machine ballots, there should be 123 people with VI by their name. And if that's correct, we're good. And if there are more ballots cast on that machine than there are visually impaired voters, then you know that fraud has occurred. What do you think about that, Mr. Sancho?
Well, I think you've outlaid a situation that could work. You would have to see whether or not it violates any of the statutes, though, in terms of equal protection. Is it illegal to reveal somebody as voting on a particular voting machine? Does that erode someone's right to privacy? Again, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying that everything that you do in a polling place has to be examined very carefully and very precisely in terms of its impact on election laws and people's liberties. And that's what makes this very, very frustrating to watch as Americans are being... There are people that are having primaries in June and May that today do not know what systems they'll be voting on, Mark. And this is an insane way to try to get people to vote properly in this country. And it's developed because of the same problems that we're seeing generally in Washington with the Abramoff scandal. You had people like Bob Ney, who's been indicted, who essentially took campaign contributions from Diebold to ensure that there would not be paper trails.
And he's of Ohio, we need to point out.
He is, but it's clear as the nose on one's face that just like everything else, the large corporations have used their ability to buy legislators legally through campaign contributions, and they've given us this process in order to make a lot of money, but at the cost of the integrity of our elections. And that's what we have in America today.
It is, I'm afraid. Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll get right to your calls right after this.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the Arthritis Lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to HealthStarProducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStarProducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for TalkStar Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing voting, your right to vote, and your right to have your vote counted with a real hero in the vote counting world, Ian Sancho, Supervisor of Elections of Leon County, Florida. Let's go to Claire. Claire, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, 2 points about voting by telephone.
Yes.
Dancing with Stars had a system like that. And I voted on that. And if they say, well, you've got five, you can cast 5 votes, somehow they record that your phone number has casted 5 votes. Unfortunately, the flaw was that if you have a land phone, then you can use your cell phone. And that would be the...
Claire, my understanding is you don't... That even though they use something that we would call a telephone, I mean, they use the handset that we're used to, these aren't actual telephones, like the telephone that you're calling in on right now to call into the radio show. It's a system where it looks like a telephone, but really it's just hooked up to a computer. Is that right, Mr. Sancho?
Well, actually, it's a regular handset. It's not very complex. It's a regular telephone handset with an infinitely adjustable audio capability with a direct line from that precinct to a server.
Okay, but people aren't calling from their own homes or anything like that.
Oh, no. You don't call. You're not voting from your home. You would be required to go to a voting precinct to use this device. This would be the disability device available to individuals who otherwise could not use the paper ballot.
Claire, does that answer your question?
Yeah, because that wasn't very clear. And regarding the voting machines, my feelings are that the governors who are approving the voting machines know that they are defective and are designed to create their desired results.
Well, it's hard to know. We do know that Secretary of State Bruce McPherson has looked at the study that he commissioned and the study which showed that it's hackable, and he said, okay, well, you know, fix the problems in this study to Diebold, and Diebold writes back, and this is all on the Secretary of State's website. You have to read between the lines and actually look at the letters and not just look at the press releases, but Diebold doesn't say that they're going to fix the problems. They just say, you know.
Unfortunately, you're voting on them prior to you're correcting the flaws, and after you correct the flaws, if you have that opportunity, those aren't the machines you're going to be allowed to be used.
It's a real problem. Thanks for your call, Claire. I appreciate it.
You're entirely welcome. Bye.
Let me ask you, Mr. Sancho, how did we get in this situation? I mean, there used to be a time 10, 20, 30 years ago when there were dozens of voting machine companies. Am I right or am I wrong?
And there are dozens now. The National Association of State Elections Directors website lists at least 19. But
there are three big ones.
Because the industries have used their lobbyists to essentially create legal monopolies around the country.
Are they buying up the little ones, or how are they doing?
Well, the little ones are just picking up the crumbs. Basically, between ES&S, Diebold, and Sequoia, you're probably tying up three quarters of all the American votes that are cast. For example, the Utah legislature said that you have to buy from only Diebold. The Mississippi legislature said you have to buy only machines from Diebold. In other words, these companies go in, negotiate contracts, and they're using their political clout to essentially divide up the market. ES&S has a lot of the Ohio jurisdictions. They have all of Nebraska. Basically, the major companies carve up the jurisdictions, and they can do that because they spend a lot of money on lobbyists. In here in Florida, for example, ES&S hired the former Secretary of State to get passage of laws that would allow touchscreen voting machines to allowed in Florida.
Are you talking about Catherine Harris? Or
until 2001, Mark.
Let me ask you this. Are you talking about Catherine Harris or another Secretary of State?
I'm talking about the previous Secretary of State to Catherine Harris, who is Sandra Mortham. There's an excellent story in the Vanity Fair October edition of 2004, which really discusses the entire effort in the state of Florida to ensure that its voters would not have their votes counted, and once that occurred, could never get them verified after that.
Mr. Sancho, let me ask you this, and we only have about a minute until the next break, but you mentioned Diebold. We've talked about that extensively. You talked about ES&S, who you were considering using until they found out that you were going to put their machines to the same test that you put Diebold to. We've hardly talked at all about Sequoia. What's the problem with Sequoia machines down in Florida?
Well, I will say that in an audit that was done from the 2004 elections, it looks like at a minimum you have a lot of poor code written there. Simply 100,000 error messages are being recorded on election day by the touchscreen voting systems there.
100,000 error messages.
But the issue is that given the companies need to crank out lots of devices because it's turned into a windfall profit event, replacing all these voting machine companies, that in fact a lot of the mistakes cannot be identified or conclusively identified as being serious mistakes or just input errors on coding problems which don't allow you to identify the real problem, which is a problem in and of itself. And so I would say that the Sequoia salesman did contact our jurisdiction and tried to sell us voting machines, but he ran into the same problem as the people in ES&S did. His boss refused to sell to us.
Very interesting. We got to take another break, and then we'll get back with more calls for the last part of the Inside Scoop. Where is our voting system going, and why, at the end of the day, is the media not covering this more? Isn't this vital to our democracy? We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
I've been reading online about a drug-free home treatment program that suggests you can be asthma-free. It's a program designed by an ex-asthmatic who claims she cured her own asthma. It's based on a little-known but astounding clinical trial at a major hospital. What would you give to be free of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms, to breathe easily, freely, naturally, in a relaxed way? This drug-free method, proven by clinical trials, is guaranteed or you get your money back, and you have 90 days to decide. Get to a computer now and go to healthstarproducts.com. That's www.healthstarproducts.com. Read about the asthma program, and if it doesn't do what it says it'll do for you, you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Go to healthstarproducts.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only have a few minutes left with my terrific guest, my hero, the person doing more, I think, than any other single person in America to protect your right to vote, Ian Sancho, the Supervisor of Elections of Leon County in Tallahassee, Florida. Let's go to Sally. Sally, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
A great program as usual.
Thank you.
What I suggest is a very simple solution. In the 50th district where this congressional race is going to take place, it's not going to be huge. It's just going to be a relatively small district. I would suggest that people who are interested go out and become poll exit watchers. Yeah, you won't get everybody to say yay or nay or put R or D, but you'll get enough people so that you can have a good darn sample. And if the results turn out wacky, we'll know it.
Well, that's a good point, Sally, but I have to tell you, they did exit polls after the 2004 election. In fact, the same person who did them in the Ukraine and found out that the vote there was unfair did that same thing, did exit polls, and they found that overwhelmingly, if you believe the exit polls, Kerry won the 2004 election. They did 12 states, and they found every one of the states, save one, was skewed toward the Republicans, and one, I think it was West Virginia, was 1% toward the Democrats, including the state of Ohio. In fact, they found that if these exit polls are to be believed, and no one has shown in any way that they were inaccurate. Warren Mitofsky is the guy who did them, the guy that did in Ukraine. The chances that George Bush was legitimately elected in 2004 is 1 in 959,000.
But this is a little different features. It's a very small area that we're going
true.
To do. It's not national. And I think our California people, particularly Michael Haas, who was at the Registrar of Voters, he's terrific. They brought him back after they got rid of the other lady who was there.
Okay.
And he's there for years and years before this other woman came in.
Okay.
And he's a good guy.
All right.
If there's a real strong protest about the election for any reason, based on those exit polls, I think he'll he'll stand behind you and get some sort of other count.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I know that all of you listening to my voice can pressure him to do the right thing and to
He's a good guy.
He may well be. You know, I don't know him personally. I'm just trying to protect people's right to vote, and I appreciate your call, Sally. I really do.
Thank you so much.
Let me ask you, Ian Sancho, before we go, and we only got about a minute left. Why is it, do you believe, that this has not gotten a lot of media attention? I would think our right to vote would be top, you know, front page stories every day. Why do you think this isn't getting stories that Debo election machines can be hacked? You know, you find this out on a few websites, and then I found this study by University of California proving that they can be hacked, and again, very little news. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that the 2000 election essentially bored the national media after a while. They were tired with the story. They wanted to move on. And secondly, the complete mastery of the Republicans on the issue, the spin of the issue. Individuals that are concerned about the accuracy of the vote are marginalized as wackos. And the companies have successfully placed the burden on citizens by marginalizing them, calling them crazy, conspiracy theorists, when actually all they are citizens that want to ensure that the right to vote is being carried out faithfully.
Let me tell you what you could do at a national level, folks, because I know that there's got 20,000 people listening to this podcast. We have Talkstar Radio Network all across the country. There is a bill by New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt to require nationally, at the federal level, require all state elections do what New Mexico's done, what Nevada's done, what a number of states are starting to do, to have paper ballots that verify people's voting choices. We still can allow disabled people to vote, but we have the paper receipt. It's Rush Holt's bill.